Please remain standing and pray with me. Almighty God, send your Holy Spirit upon your gathered people this morning. Open our hearts and minds to the teaching of God's word. Lord, we are reminded by the saints and teachers of your church that worship itself is spiritual warfare. So come and show yourself mighty in this place and at this time, Lord, gird on your sword, O mighty King, and come among us. Lord, drive out from us all the hardness of heart, all of the dissipation, Lord, that keeps us from hearing your word. And Father God, grant us new life in Christ through this teaching. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. As you're being seated, I think we'll be able to do it one more time this evening, so I'm going to get it out of my system. Merry Christmas!
Merry Christmas!
It's good to hear that. Can we stop feasting now? No, we got about 24 more hours, and then we're gonna stop. For those of you who haven't been at Christ Church or don't know, our custom was we do observe the entire period of the 12 days beginning on Christmas Day and until January 5th and January 6th, actually, for the Epiphany, as a season of feasting, the 12 days of Christmas and then Epiphany Day. And so we've been hard at it. And if you hadn't gotten the memo, next year, I want you to take up that practice, but it will catch up with you after a while. I'm wearing my fat pants right this minute. So, well, I want us to turn our attention to that passage from Luke chapter 2, because that passage that we just heard wraps up the birth narrative about Jesus. Now, this is such a rich passage for us this morning, and we could go in a whole bunch of directions with this, but that being the case, I want to narrow it down to just this one theme that presents itself in Luke chapter 2, verses 22 through 40 that we heard this morning. And here's that theme. I want you to listen carefully. In this passage, we hear the Old Testament, how the Old Testament and the New Testament, how the first covenant God had with his people Israel, and the new covenant God offers to all humanity through Jesus Christ, how the Old Covenant, New Covenant, in this passage, embrace each other in the moment when Jesus is presented in the temple. The Old Covenant and the New Covenant, the Old Testament and the New Testament, embrace each other in this moment when the Lord Jesus is presented in the temple. Now, the very first thing that we see in this passage is Jesus' relationship with the Old Covenant, the Old Testament. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, the Old Covenant was God's special relationship with and promises to his chosen people, Israel. That covenant was given after they had escaped from slavery in Egypt and were wandering in the desert about 3,400 years ago. Now, that the first five books of the Bible, the Torah, encapsulate that relationship and those promises that defined Jewish life. So what do we hear? I want you to think about this. What do we hear in Luke 2 regarding the law, regarding the Old Covenant? Listen to this. This is just the first three verses in the passage we heard read. Verse 22, "And when the time came for their purification, according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as is written in the law of the Lord, every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons." We have the law specifically acknowledged. The Old Covenant, the Torah, specifically acknowledged in each of those three verses that I just read. And that tells us that Jesus begins his life, this is so important, especially in our current moment right now, where we see this rise, it's bizarre. I do think this is a spiritual experience happening in this country and the world over, this in this particular moment, and I've heard it even among Christian people, that this rise of anti-Semitism. I want you to recognize this, brothers and sisters, as followers of Jesus Christ. You worship a Jewish man as God. How you can pull off anti-Semitism at the same time with that, I just don't have a clue. In fact, I know you can't. And if you are trying to, repent. Turn to the Lord and seek His forgiveness. Because Jesus, we see in this passage, is He begins His life as the son of a faithful, orthodox, Torah-observing Jewish family. And that's reiterated. We hear it in Paul's letter to the Galatians in Galatians chapter 4. Now, why am I even bringing up Galatians? Because people think, well, Galatians just annihilates the law. No, it sets the law in its proper perspective. But listen to what it says in Galatians chapter 4, verse 4. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of woman, listen, born under the law, under the Torah. So what do we take away from this? And here's what I want you to hear. The law is good. The old covenant God made with Israel is good. That old covenant is good. And why do I make a point of saying this? Well, there is an attitude among some Christians that the law of Moses is somehow bad, that it didn't contain any grace, and that it was only given to show us what horrible, terrible people we really are. Look at the law. Aren't you horrible? Well, yes, thank you very much. You're exactly right, and Paul does mention that in Galatians, as a matter of fact. But that's not all there is to it. No, the law as it was given was, this is so critical, was for the blessing of Israel and through Israel the whole world. So St. Paul says of the first covenant, this is the Apostle Paul, Romans chapter 7, verse 12, so the law is bad. No. So the law is holy, and the commandment is holy and righteous and good. Romans 7, verse 12. Now, the other people who show up in this narrative that we just heard, Simeon and Anna, are there precisely because they love God and desire to live in that framework of relationship and promise that God gave Israel at Sinai. And by the way, it is a great comfort to me that Simeon and Anna are old people. So I guess God can still use old people. Listen to what Luke says of Simeon. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And listen, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. Simeon and Anna are representatives of the old covenant at its best. Pious, and get this, in this moment in the temple, spirit-filled. And again, listen to what it says about Anna. Verse 38, Luke 2, 38. And coming up at that very hour, she began to give thanks to God and to speak of him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. Speak of who? Speak of this child, Jesus. Anna, this old covenant woman who had devoted herself to God, the God of Israel, becomes in effect, listen, the very first public evangelist telling the good news about Jesus. It's interesting to me, and I just thought about this, I think the Lord put it on my heart this morning, that at the very beginning of Luke's gospel and at the very end of Luke's gospel, you have women acting as evangelists. Anna at the beginning, and then the myrrh-bearing women, the women who go to the tomb on the day of resurrection, they encounter an empty tomb, come back, and they see an angel, they get the good news, Jesus is alive, they run back to the apostles, and they speak evangelistically of the risen Lord. So we have something wonderful happening here. This all through Simeon and Anna, the law is proclaiming Jesus. Through Simeon and Anna, the law is proclaiming Jesus, and therefore the law is good. So point number one, the law is good, the old covenant is good. Now, there's more here though, that Jesus is the fulfillment. This is it. He is the fulfillment of the old covenant. The old covenant wasn't bad. It's just that the new covenant is infinitely better. The new covenant is infinitely better. The old covenant was pointing towards something more wonderful. And Jesus is the fulfillment and the consolation of that covenant. Now, how can I maintain such a statement? Well, what did Jesus say? If you want to flip real quick with me in your Bible or scan to it in your phone, scroll however you need to do it. Matthew chapter 5, verses 17 and 18. Matthew 5, verses 17 and 18. This is the Lord Jesus speaking at the Sermon on the Mount. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not an iota, not a dot will pass from the law until all is accomplished. That's why Simeon and Anna are so excited. All that God had promised in the Old Testament has shown up in the arms of Mary. In the old covenant, God would come among his people. The old covenant pointed to a new covenant in which, in the new covenant, God would come among his people and he would renew Israel, and through Israel, even the Gentiles. The glory of your people, Israel, and a light to enlighten the Gentiles. By transforming their very lives, this is how God was going to do it in the new covenant. God was going to transform their very lives from the inside out and not from the outside in. We heard from Jeremiah chapter 31 this morning. If we had kept reading in that passage and we went down to verse 31, this is what the Lord says through Jeremiah. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. Not like the covenant that I made with their fathers on the day when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt. My covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, declares the Lord. Here it is. Listen, verse 33. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. I will put my law within them, and will write it on their hearts. Now, do you remember? Of course you do. Way back in Advent when we heard the prophecy from Malachi. I know it's right there. You could quote it probably. Malachi chapter 3. Don't worry, I couldn't either. Malachi 3 verse 1. This is a prophecy we heard in Advent about the coming of Jesus. Behold, Malachi 3 1. Behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me. That would be John the Baptist. And then listen to what it says. And the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple, and the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight, behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. Simeon and Anna, hear this, recognize that God has indeed returned to his temple. If we were to go back and read Chronicles about the dedication of Solomon's temple, that first temple, that the Shekinah glory so powerfully filled that temple that they couldn't minister in the temple. The glory of God was just so powerfully there. The smoke of the glory of the Shekinah glory of God filled that temple. It was unbelievably overwhelming. And that had not happened for centuries. But in the arms of Mary, the Shekinah glory of God has returned in the person of Jesus Christ. Simeon and Anna recognize that God has returned to his temple. Malachi had been fulfilled. This is what we have been waiting for. This is what the Torah and the prophets and the writings have been pointing to. They are saying to us this very moment. And when Simeon takes that infant Jesus in his arms and he blesses God, Simeon speaks, listen, as the embodiment of the old covenant, and says, finally, this is the old covenant through Simeon. Finally, this is what I have been longing for all these centuries, and here he is. Just listen to Simeon's song. This is the old covenant rejoicing in the new covenant. This is the law rejoicing in the fulfillment of the law. Simeon took Jesus up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in shalom. In other words, fulfillment and wholeness and peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for the revelation to the Gentiles and for the glory of your people Israel. Now, I want to show you, and I want to wrap this up by showing you a hidden treat. This evening at the Epiphany celebration following the service, there are two king cakes. And if you know the tradition of the king cakes, you know that there's always something, there's a foreign object baked into those cakes. Sometimes it's like a pinto bean, or sometimes I think they actually have little like plastic babies. That doesn't sound like something I would want to put in a cake, but it represents the baby Jesus, and it's the king, the three kings, you know, or actually we don't know how many kings, but the Magi coming to visit baby Jesus, finding baby Jesus, and somebody finds that bean, and that's a really, really big deal. It's a hidden treat in that cake, and there's gifts and fabulous prizes if you find the bean, but I don't know. No, I don't think so. Maybe a trip to the dentist, chipped tooth, I don't know. But here is the hidden treat in this passage that reveals how Jesus fulfills the old covenant and ushers in the new. This is so cool. So the Lord has come to his temple as Malachi foretold, but he's presented by a poor Jewish family. And we know that they are poor because they offer two turtle doves. God comes in weakness and vulnerability and humility as the son of a poor family. In other words, weakness, humility, and vulnerability. In other words, this is a foreshadowing of the cross. Indeed, the cross is woven throughout all of the birth narrative of Jesus in Luke's gospel. Jesus would fulfill God's plan of redemption through weakness and humiliation. And this is hinted at right here in the beginning of Luke's story about Jesus. And in case we miss the subtlety, Luke self-consciously reminds us of this baby's destiny when he records these words of Simeon. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed, and a sword will pierce through your own heart also, so that the thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. But wait, there's more. Now, here is what is hidden in plain sight if we just have the eyes to see it. Luke refers to, this is amazing. Luke refers to the sacrifice for purification after childbirth, and he's pointing back to the Torah, Leviticus chapter 12. Here's what Leviticus 12 says, verse 6, When the days of her purifying are completed, she shall bring to the priest at the entrance of the tent of meeting a lamb a year old, for a burnt offering, and a pigeon or a turtle dove for a sin offering. And he shall offer it before the Lord to make atonement for her. And if she cannot afford a lamb, then she shall take two turtle doves or two pigeons, for one for a burnt offering and the other for a sin offering, and the priest shall make atonement for her, and she shall be clean. Please listen. The law says that this is to be two turtle doves or two young pigeons. No lamb is required. But Mary did bring a lamb to the temple. Mary brought the lamb to the temple. John chapter 1, verse 29. Behold the lamb who takes away the sin of the world. It wasn't just an atonement for Mary. This lamb is for the atonement of all of God's human, fallen human children. Mary brought a lamb to the temple. Jesus is the lamb presented in the temple for the offering. He is the purification of Mary and the whole human race. Jesus is presented as the atonement for humanity and completely given to God. He is holy to the Lord. The Lord, brothers and sisters, is the lamb. God offers himself for us because as great as the law is, we could never fulfill it. Mary brings her little lamb, and because she did, we can be saved from the power of sin and brought into a life-giving relationship with God. And should we ever forget that Mary brought the Lamb of Redemption, we will remember it again and again and again at this table when the bread is broken and the wine is poured. Because of God's great love for us, the Lamb, behold the Lamb who takes away the sin of the world. Blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. The Lord is the Lamb. He has come to His temple. Thanks be to God. We are now brought close to God through the atonement purchased for us in Jesus Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.